Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, what's up? Alternative Facts Podcast, we're back. I'm Chris Payne. As always, I'm your host. So we're getting towards the holiday season. Thanksgiving's almost here. Christmas will be here. Hanukkah, all that before we know it. We're drawing to a close with the year. Big things to close out the year from the Alternative Facts podcast. A lot of interviews I'm very excited to put out into the world. And today, this is one of them. Front Bottoms. They came by the Billboard office in New York for a Facebook Live performance a couple weeks back. Brian, their frontman, was generous enough with his time to do an interview afterwards. We talked for about a half hour about all sorts of stuff, and as I suspected, we had a lot in common. We both grew up fairly close to each other in New Jersey. He was a little bit north of me, but we're both about the same age. We talked about a lot of venues, record stores, even people that we were both familiar with. One dude I want to shout out, especially in this intro, Mark Jaworski, college roommate of mine. He's worked on a bunch of the Front Bottoms videos dating back towards the beginning of the band's life, and he still works with them on all sorts of creative projects. So this came up even before we started recording. Brian and I chatted about Mark a bunch, and he comes up later in the podcast. So wanted to highlight him and preface that for you listeners. That's coming up in the episode. We're both nerding out about a bunch of these similar experiences that we've had. And I think a theme that threads through all of this discussion about the Front Bottoms with Brian is that connections that you make with people, even very loose connections, can lead to big things for you if you just stick with them, keep up with them, let them grow. If you're a good judge of people, that's important. At the very end of the episode, Brian just says, "You are who you hang out with." And that really stuck with me. So that's, I think, is a good theme to think about as you listen to this episode. And it's not all super serious. We talk about what it's like, what it was like when he went to a party at Mark Hoppus's house not too long ago. He talks about whether or not Front Bottoms are going to do another issue in the Grandma series. If you're a big fan of the band, you know what I'm talking about there. And new album, Going Gray, came out recently. It's out now on Fueled by Ramen. You'll hear a bunch from it in this episode. Leading us into the interview, here's a new track called Vacation Town. Backyard to get to the outdoor shower. I miss the way things used to be. I miss the way things used to be. It's okay, no one's around. I'm off season. Vacation Town. Brian from Front Bottoms, Alternative Facts.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Finally, I feel like we are going to go into some deep Jersey shit, so maybe we should just like get it all out of our systems first.
That sounds good, yeah. We can talk about Jersey, talk about pork roll, or whatever else.
So it's your release week, and you got some Jersey shit going on for release week.
Oh, yeah. Vintage Vinyl.
Vintage Vinyl, one of my old haunting grounds. Don't make it back as much as I used to, because I live in the city now. But
okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That's been a tradition. Every time we release an album, they let us come and play there. It's a lot of fun. They're always very good to us, so it's nice.
You must go back a while. Did you like go to the signing performance album release shows there back like when you were a kid?
I didn't as much, but my girlfriend like always has all these stories of how she went to go see like Taking Back Sunday and like all Newfound Glory and all those guys there. So it's always nice. I feel like I'm part of the club now, you know? And it's also like everybody there is such a good vibe, and you know, they treat us good. So it's just nice to have a tradition that, like, when the album comes out, we're going to be at Vintage Vinyl hanging out, you know?
Totally. How long have you been doing those for your releases?
Probably, like, the past four releases we did there. So it would have been, like, the self-titled one, and then Talon of the Hawk, and then Back on Top, and then now this one. So pretty cool.
What do you think is the craziest thing that ever happened to you guys at, like, a signing or a release show?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, like, I don't know if it's crazy, but people will show us, like, that's really an opportunity to, like, talk to people.
Sure.
And see, like, oh, okay, these people are awesome, you know? And lots of times people will show us tattoos that they have, like, of my face or, like, of lyrics. And it's just a pretty, you know, it's an honor, but it is, like, shocking to see somebody with my face, like, tattooed on their body. I like it, but it is shocking.
It's like Tumblr coming to life.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's, like, from the screen to the... I don't know.
From the screen to really...
Right, to reality? Is that from the screen to real life? Who knows? But yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking, like, a lot of meeting people in real life for the first time. Maybe some just really random requests from fans.
Well, you know, I stopped doing it. I don't really do it anymore. But people used to always say, like, oh, can you write this lyric out that I like and, like, sign this piece of paper? I'd be like, oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd write it. I have terrible spelling, so it'd all be misspelled and stuff. And then they would, like, go and get that tattooed. So now when anybody says, like, can you write this lyric out? I usually say, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that, you know?
Got to set your boundaries.
Yeah, exactly, you know? And I have, like, such, like, terrible handwriting that it's, like, almost embarrassing.
So you're going to come through Vintage Vinyl, play some songs, then wrap up and meet some fans.
Yes, sir. That's the plan. You know, sign the album, because that'll be probably the first time that I get to see the album. Actually, I guess I'll see it today, but lots of times in the past, like, going to Vintage Vinyl was, like, me and Matt's way of, like, actually seeing the album and having an opportunity to touch the physical thing.
Yeah, for those listening, just one of the top independent record stores in America. It's been hanging in there, going strong for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Smack dab in the suburbs of Jersey, in between Woodbridge Mall and Menlo Mall.
Oh, yeah. The malls.
For those listening, and just the way I describe this part of New Jersey to people who have never experienced it, I just tell them, just picture the most suburban setting that you can.
It's a spot for sure. It's like a movie or something.
So the town you're from, is it more like mountainous or is it?
No, it's like kind of right. It's the suburbs, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you go like a couple towns over, there's like, I went to Ramapo College.
Okay.
So that was like kind of like, you know, not the mountains, obviously, but you got like the more woods out there, you know. Where I grew up is kind of just houses and malls.
Sure.
Yeah.
What were some of the early venues that, like, that you went to and, like, some of the early venues that Front Bottoms played shows at?
Well, the first venue we played was this place called Main Stage. It's not there anymore. It didn't last very long, but it was just, like, a crappy venue that me and Matt, we were like, okay, we got some songs. Now let's try to play live. We just, like, sent all these emails out, and the kid, really, who owned this venue was just like, you could play these three shows. And we were like, what the hell? Three shows is amazing. So we like went there and it was like kind of in like that Ramapo area, like in them, you know, out in like the mountains a little. It was in Pompton Lakes, actually, was the name of the town.
Okay.
And it was nobody there, obviously, you know, nobody. So we like played the show, but one of the most amazing things that ever happened to us was the sound guy at the time, his name was Casey. He was the only one watching us because he had to. He was the sound guy. And like after the show, he's like, I think you guys were really, really good. And like that was really all we kind of needed to like continue doing it, you know, and to come back and play more shows. And he ended up recording our self-titled album, like the first group of songs that we released that people listened to.
Mm-hmm.
He did that. So it's pretty incredible. But like years later,
yeah,
you know, that we had just kept in touch with this sound guy at this venue because he was like an awesome guy and we would hang out with him a lot. And he had this little like warehouse space and that's just kind of how it happened.
Yeah, that's so crazy how just so many times a little connection like that. Like we were talking about Mark Jaworski.
Yes, sir.
The show, who
I was just going to say, yeah. He, like, from high school, you know, graduated high school. And then maybe like a couple months after, I was like, dude, I got this band. Like, I know that you have a nice camera. Can you take press photos for us? And like I was saying, 9 years later at this point, like, we met up with him 2 weeks ago to take some press photos, and we're always doing like creative things together. But really, it was just like, it isn't pretty incredible, like the connections you make and stick with, you know?
Totally. And I feel like there's a good amount to just recap for those listening, because this was a conversation that happened right before we started recording. But shout out
to... I thought we were recording.
We were recording, but that was like, no, check the mics chat. But shout out to Mark Jaworski.
Yes.
Went to college with me and did a bunch of music videos over a long period of time and still working with Front Bottoms.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
Small world. So, but like you were saying, it's that Jersey connection, you know?
Yeah.
There's no getting away from it.
You know, it's I always, like, think that it was kind of frustrating, like, growing up, like, to quote Jack Antonoff, in the shadow of the city, like, growing up in that setting.
Yeah.
You know, it's frustrating, and, like, there's just, like, a lot of stuff that, yeah, it's not cool, but it is just awesome just being so close and being so connected.
I agree.
And in those ways, just so much better than just about any other suburban setting in America.
I think so. You know, it gets a lot of hate, but you got, I mean, where I grew up and where you grew up, it's like, what, 20 minutes to the city. Then you got the beach like an hour away. Then you got woods 20 minutes in the other direction. Then you can go down to Philly, you know, go up to Boston. It's like a lot of stuff real close. And I mean, Jack Antonoff, we were able to play Shadow of the City, but it was like, I think it was the first year.
Yeah, that was the
first. Was that the first year?
Yeah.
So I met him that day. Turns out he grew up like 3 blocks.
Oh, yeah.
From
okay.
me. And it was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, we were talking about like little stores and stuff. I was like, oh, wait, where did you live? Where did you grow up? I didn't know him. He was like a little bit older than me, but it was just like, wow, that's incredible, you know?
Yeah, Steel Train back
in the day. Steel Train, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Hitmaker, that guy. Taylor Swift now, right?
Yeah, that dude.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, just like the career trajectory.
Yeah. He's a hustler. That's pretty awesome. It's good for him.
He's
got the skills. He's got the skills to pay the bills, I think.
This podcast is quickly turning into like a paid for by the travel board of the state of New Jersey.
I wish.
But let's like step back a little bit finally. And like, I'm thinking like we're talking a lot about the early days and now, you know, with being on Fuel Buy and you guys just toured with like Blink-182 for a few shows. Like, what is it like, you know, being much bigger and having a lot of new opportunities open to new things, but still like trying to hold on to, you know, like connections and people that made things special early on?
Yeah, totally. And like, it's not that hard, honestly. Like, you know, there's people from like labels that have tried to like sign us in the past that we didn't sign to them, but we still, every time we roll through the city, get lunch with them, you know, because it's just a matter of like sending a text and being like, hey, what's up? Like, we're around, you know,
getting some of those lunches.
Yeah. Can you buy us lunch, you know? But yeah, it's basically just try to keep it real. And, you know, I think me and Matt, ever since the very beginning, we just like wanted to be creative. And like, that's how we called Mark Jaworski and we're like, you know, can you bring your camera down here? Like, we found a cornfield that looks cool, you know, take our picture. So it's basically just like any opportunity, we would just be like, yeah, we'll try to do that, you know? So, and that's kind of like why I feel like we've taken, like, I mean, for me personally, like Fueled by Ramen, that was like a huge step. Before that, we were signed to Bar None Records, which was like, that was as big as it got, like, for us, really. And it was, like, incredible roster of bands and an awesome company of people to work with. So, and, like, that whole situation happened because I went to college with a girl named Emmy. We graduated the same year. I went on tour. She went to work at Bar None. We met up, like, a year later, and she signed us to Bar None. So that was just, like, another example of, like, keeping in touch with people that are cool and doing creative things and always being willing, like, you know, stay positive and just like, you know, what are you doing? Like, we'll get involved with that. And that's really what it's all about. You know, it's just like, keep it fresh, keep it freaky.
Yeah. There must be some challenges though, even if it's like wanting to talk to every fan after a show or wanting to
well,
get
that
like
I don't
every
want
message.
To you know, that, you know, of course, there's like some now it's like the shows are bigger, substantially bigger. And so, like, you know, I can't be friends with everybody, but back in the day when we played to 15 people, I definitely was friends with like those 15 people in the audience without a doubt, you know? And I think that's kind of like how our band has like stayed kind of like cool, you know? It's because like when we roll through Chicago or Denver or wherever, like there's people that we have to get in touch with that we put on the guest list and that still come out to the shows. Mm-hmm. Like even we played in basements in New Jersey all those years. And then when I remember when we played Maxwell's, it was like all these kids that came to see us play in these basements, they came to Maxwell's and they paid the $15 to get in. And it was probably like $5 at that point. But, you know, it's just, I think because we just kept it real and keep it genuine. It's not really like an act or anything like that. Not yet anyway. So I think that's kind of how it is. And with like, you know, people at the shows, it is awesome. It's like an honor to have people be like, want to take a picture, or, you know, want you to sign something. Sometimes it's a little flustering, so I gotta like run like hell, but you know, it's just, it's all a positive thing, I think, is like the bottom line, as long as it stays positive. And you know, that's what it's all about, I think.
Yeah. And I guess there's always going to be some faction of the fan base that gets annoyed when you sign to a label, then gets annoyed when you sign to a bigger label.
Yeah, of course.
When you do production that has a little bit more money in it, that's just like not super DIY, bare bones production.
For sure. You know, like part of the art, like we look at the Front Bottoms, me and Matt have always looked at the Front Bottoms like as an artistic experience, and like we're trying to make an art project, and it's a very living thing. So on all those early songs, we would just record the songs in like whosoever basement, and then we put them out that night. You know, there was no mixing, there was no bass in a lot of the songs, it didn't matter because that wasn't the point. Like the point was to like be with our friends and then put the music on the internet for all of our other friends to hear. And so that was then.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we signed to Bar None, they were like, you know, if you want, you could go and record in a studio. And we were like, okay, let's do that, you know, and like, and then step it up. And then, you know, this past one, I wish I could say like that I know what the album is going to sound like when we start recording, but I have no idea. You know, it's just like, how the album comes out at the end, that's how it came out at the end. So it's kind of how I try to keep it. You know, I'm trying to make a catalog of music, you know, that's I can look back on and be proud of and be like, wow, that was a freaky album, or that was not a freaky album, or, you know, whatever the situation. It feels good. I think that's the way that it stays fresh, too.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know if I could make a song that sounded like the way the early songs did. I don't even know if I can make a song that sounds like the way on the last album it sounded. It's just like in the moment of recording, that's how it happened. That's how the songs came together. So that's, that's kind of how that is, you know. There'll always be more songs, always writing and recording, so.
Yeah, it's like it's unique to that place and time.
Exactly.
People are going to want like, oh, the sound from such and such album. Yeah. Or like, you know, people are going to want this band to sound like this era.
Absolutely. And it's cool because you could always go back to that and you could always listen to it. But like, yeah, right. Exactly. Like the people that were in the room when we were recording some of those songs, like I don't even know who some of those people were. Like there's a lot of the early songs, the bass, right when people started saying like you got to put bass on your songs, there's got to be that bass in there, we were like, well, I don't think we do have to do that, but it was like, okay, who do we know that knows how to play bass? Well, we played this show with this kid who played bass last week, let's call him up. And he came into the studio, never heard the songs before, played the bass, and then left. I haven't talked to him since then. So there's no way of recreating that, that, because it's just never going to be those people in that room again like that recording those songs. But that's okay because, you know, the next album we record, it's going to be a whole group of different people, that, and it's going to be fun, and, you know, it's going to be that moment. is where those songs are going to come from. And like, that's the important thing, especially for us, because it is an art project and it's all very personal. So works out.
Take me inside the studio for Going Gray. What was the environment like there?
Right. We get an opportunity to record in a bunch of different cities. So basically the way it would go is I would write a song, a skeleton of a song, and then get together with the boys and we would make the song kind of the way that we do. And then we recorded some stuff in LA. We recorded some stuff in Austin. I had the opportunity to go to like upstate New York. This is all for like 3 days at a time, you know, so it was kind of like a hit and run sort of deal, which I loved. The last album we recorded, Back on Top, we went out for like, I think it was like 5 weeks almost. It was just like every day working on these songs. And I think they came out fantastic. But moving forward with this last album, I was like, let's try to mix it up, you know, do it a little different. So we did it in like spurts of 3 days. We got to record some stuff in the UK at our friend's studio when we were on tour with Blink 182. So it was like, that was, felt like a rock star, you know, like going and playing these shows, like in these arenas, opening up for like Blink 182. And
yeah,
then, like,
tell me about that. I was going to ask you about
incredible,
that.
Dude.
Give me the details. Like, tell me what it was like playing those shows, being in that, in those venues, maybe meeting those people.
Yeah, it was incredible. And like, we've had the opportunity to go over to the UK a bunch, go to Europe and stuff, but never play arenas, obviously, you know. And this was like, the show in London was at the O2 Arena, so 18,000 people, like two nights in a row. I took my little brother on this tour to just like hang out and party, so that was awesome.
How old is he?
He's 21.
All right.
Yeah,
I have
yeah.
a 21-year-old brother too.
Yeah, yeah. So it was like, right. you know, that felt cool too. It was like, oh, sweet. Like, you know, take him along, you know, mm-hmm. he'll carry some boxes around. You know, we put the couch on stage when we play live. That's kind of the vibe. We try to keep it like a living room style. So with this Blink tour, we were like, okay, like, will we still be able to have the couch? What's the deal?
What's Mark going to think of the couch?
Right, exactly. It was like, you know, is this going to be a good vibe? Are people going to understand this? And like the second night of the tour, Mark came out and sat on
and
the
couch.
And just
plopped himself down. I can see that.
It was incredible. It was like, you know, I'm a huge Blink fan for years and years and years and years, you know, and so to have somebody like Mark be like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to come out and sit on this couch. It was an awesome experience. And the shows were huge. And there was a lot of love over there, you know, like they were very, it was us, Frank Turner, and Blink. And I think it worked out for us playing first because, like, you know, you go to an arena tour, a show, and you're like, I want to see Blink, you know? So we got up there and we only had a half an hour, so we would just rock as hard as we could and then just get off and party. So it was
yeah.
awesome. It was a crazy experience. Definitely one I thought I'd never have, and I got to do it last summer. So
did you get to hang with them a little bit?
Those guys were super, super nice, but also super busy. Mm. And also they're like a little older, you know, so they got their families on tour and like, I'm trying to party and have a good time, you know, and they're just like, they were super kind though. And they would always say we did a great job and they would, you know, very supportive. And they were like, oh yeah, you know, we watched the videos and stuff. And Mark actually invited us to like one of his, or like to his house, I guess, and had like a big barbecue for like everybody. So we went there. So that was an incredible experience, you know, to like go and hang out, open bar, all the food you could eat. And, yeah, it was amazing. You know, the crew we roll with over there is like all these punk rock kids, and they were, it was surreal, like to be walking down like Mark Hoppus's driveway to like go and have a barbecue with them, you know. And on the PA at the barbecue, not only was there Blink 182 songs playing,
he's
which was
playing
a little
Blink
bit weird. Well, it was like, you know,
they're self-aware.
Dude,
I
plus
like
44,
that.
Angels and Airwaves,
Boxcar Racer.
Boxcar Racer was on there. Blink 182, and
Aquabats
then,
for Travis.
I don't remember if there was any Aquabats. There should have been, but
I mean, like Pool Party would have been like literally
the perfect.
Perfect
yeah,
for
exactly.
That.
There was also Front Bottoms playing though.
Dope.
So they threw some Front Bottoms on the mix, you know, which is just like, it's awesome that they would, you know, they didn't have to do that. It was probably a playlist, you know, but still it was a pretty surreal experience to like be hanging out with my little brother at like Mark's house listening to like my voice come through the PA for like all the fancy people to listen to. It was awesome.
Yeah. Were there any like memorable conversations, any like fun stories from that?
I mean, there was people you there met? Was one there is one story that like happened that day at that party that was just like it was somebody got very hurt like at the end of the party, and it wasn't like actually I guess it was kind of like a huge deal, but it was, I don't want to blow up anyone's spot or anything like that, but so it was there was just this one. It was like, I think it was I don't know. We can cut this out if it ends up being like, you know, whatever, right? Okay, so it was like, there was an open bar, so everybody was drinking real heavy. And then this, just like a couple guys just took it too far. And then one guy fell and got real hurt. And it was like a very serious thing. So it went from being like super fun and awesome to like realizing like, oh my gosh, like this, you know, this is actually
when
serious.
The vibe is just
right.
Interrupted.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Like, it's like I'm a few drinks in, but I have to like
right,
get
yeah.
serious.
Right, exactly. So that was, that happened, and it was just added to like, what the hell is going on right now? You know, like I'm like, this experience is still what it is. And then like add this whole level of like crazy excitement was, so that was, the whole thing was pretty surreal.
But then first day came on the PA and everyone got back to partying.
Exactly.
What did you think about seeing like the new lineup with Matt live?
I love Alkaline Trio and I love Matt Skiba and oh, yeah. Heavens and all those other stuff like
Heavens,
that he's done.
Right, good.
Yeah, like I love
Deep Cut.
Everything he's done. So that was just like a surreal trip too. I got to hang out with him a little bit. But like, again, you know, those guys are busy. They're running all over the place. So.
Sure.
And you know, you try to give them a little space. You don't want to cramp their style. Cause they're like legit rock stars. You know, they're playing to 18,000 people a night. And this is a band, this is what I kept saying, this is a band that like was one of the biggest bands in the world like 20 years ago. Then they broke up. Then they got back together. And now they have a different singer. And there's still 15,000 people coming to see them play wherever yeah. they play.
California
so.
Did so well. It was a number one album for us.
Exactly.
Blew away people's expectations sales-wise.
Absolutely. Like to have a number one album like that, it was incredible. And at the shows, so I'm rocking out to these old school songs, like, you know, all those First Date, you know, all the small things. But when they would play these new songs, it seemed like the people in the audience were most excited for the new stuff that they were playing. So it was crazy. Yeah, more power to them. I thought
totally.
It was great. And it was great that they showed us love like that and gave us the opportunity. So it was great.
Word. Yo, let's drop in some music for the people.
Cool.
I really love the chorus of Peace Sign. Let's drop in some Peace Sign.
Hell yeah. She started talking backwards, but nothing good it brings her. So next time that she sees him, it'll be Peace Sign, middle finger. Peace Sign, middle finger. Peace Sign, middle finger. The next time that she sees him,
yo, another thing I want to chat about. I want to chat about Tumblr.
Okay.
So late last year, Billboard.com premiered Tumblr's year-end charts.
Yes.
Which is like tabulated from the artists, bands that have been like tagged and reblogged the most.
Yeah.
And there was a top 20 bands and you guys cracked it.
I know. Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
I know. I wish I could say that like I knew more about that like scene, I guess, but it's
same.
Just, yeah. It was like, it was shocking. I remember people telling me like, oh yeah, you're like, you know, top 20. That seems pretty good. So it was a very exciting thing.
Yeah. I mean, I have the list right here.
Yeah. Let's see who.
Coldplay was number 20.
What?
You guys beat Coldplay.
Okay. Let's see. Wow. Okay. You were in some pretty good company over here. 5 Seconds of Summer is number one. Wow. Cool.
The Kids Love Five Slide. They didn't even put out an album last year.
Oh my gosh. See, you should be talking to them right now. Fifth Harmony, 19th Follow Up Boy, Little Man. Yeah, cool. You know, it's cool. It seems like anything that I've seen that has been attached to the front bottoms on Tumblr has been like very creative and very awesome. And like, I'm not responsible for it, you know? So like somebody to have the passion and love enough to be like, I'm going to make like a drawing or a lyric thing. It's awesome. It's an incredible feeling. But yeah, that's crazy. The front bottoms, there we are, number 18.
Yeah, that's what I was saying with the meet and greets, because that must be like the IRL version of like all the tattoos, because that's like so much of what's being tagged.
Absolutely.
And being put on. A big thing is taking really emotional lyrics and making your own graphic and putting the lyrics onto the graphic.
That makes sense.
You know, and then you tag the band and this is all tabulated.
Yeah, yeah, right. Okay, so yeah, that makes sense, you know. It was, pretty
shout
crazy.
Shout out to Tumblr, shout out to Amanda Brennan, friend of the podcast, for making that happen.
Yeah, baby.
You guys maybe go up a few spots there because you'll have like a fresh album this
year. I wonder, imagine. That would be so cool. Maybe be number one. And Coldplay, that's pretty cool that they got on that list as well, you know? Because it's like, not really the scene, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and yeah, no.
Like a lot of these bands make sense to me. Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco, My Chemical Romance.
For
like,
sure.
You know, Arctic Monkeys, what is that band number 17?
Oh, Paris.
Paris.
Paris, just on the podcast 2 days ago.
Oh,
I just saw them
nice.
I just saw them last night.
Wow, that's
they're
crazy.
Awesome. Yeah, you should check out Paris if you haven't.
I will. I absolutely will. So, yeah. So, and then Coldplay is still going strong.
Yeah, definitely. Because, like, if you were, like, to describe what you were getting at, like, alt rock, alt pop, pop punk, stuff, like, adjacent like that.
Yes,
with,
right.
like, a teenage fan base.
Exactly, yes.
You know?
And, like, I always feel so lucky to have fans like
that. Yeah.
Because those are the most passionate people about music. You know, you don't see older people, like, lining up in front of the doors at a show at, like, 8 a.m. to, like, watch us play. It's all young people who are passionate and the music really means something. So I feel extremely lucky to have that sort of like that group of or that demographic, let's say, like on our side,
you know,
and showing us love and, you know, keeping it real for us.
It's so true. Yeah. Like people might think it's like cooler to have like a certain like older kind of crowd who's, you know, the connoisseurs of your music. But
right.
Yeah. Like there's nothing like a teenage fan. Like, and
absolutely.
Also want to just say like young 20 something, like
sure.
millennial fan base. Don't want to be ageist here, but a young. A young, very enthusiastic, diverse fan base is like, there's nothing like it.
And, you know, and one that you can grow with, you know, and one that is like accepting of like creative stuff. That's why it's exciting to make new stuff, because it's just like, all right, guys, here you go. Like, here's my next experience, you know, here's my next art project, and they can take from it. And it's awesome. It's
awesome. Because like it's interesting because a few of those bands on the list, like say Five Sauce, like they got big and they were on a major label really early, and you know, nothing wrong with that. Like everyone comes from different avenues.
Oh, totally.
But for you guys, yeah, it must be kind of a trip being in that kind of group with those bands, because you guys came from just like the most DIY, just,
right?
You know,
yeah, absolutely. I think that people can kind of connect with that, you know, and they see like, oh, damn, there's like all these pictures of them playing in like kitchens and basements, and like, you know, that's all that stuff. That was the story. That was how we did it for years and years and years and years. So to get like a little bit of respect and a little love like that is awesome. It's great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
For us.
Yeah. Yo, something I think a lot of the fans are curious about. Is there going to be another edition in the Grandma series?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I say yes every single time somebody asks me that, but I do plan to make another Grandma series. It's just about kind of like clearing my head. Because it is, it's not hard, but like I have to reimagine these songs. Mm. And, you know, sometimes I listen to the songs and like I love them all in their own way. But I think as like an older man now, like when I wrote these songs, like when I was 18, 19 years old, it's like the lyrics, I'll probably have to change a lot of the lyrics, you know, because I want to keep it real. And it would seem a little bit phony to me to like sing these old lyrics, even though I do it live. But to re-record these songs, I would just want to make it, I wouldn't want to let anyone down. Like I would want to make it as creative and as fresh as I possibly could. So that's kind of like the deal with the Grandma series. And it's also, it was another thing like where me and Matt were like bored and we were able to, like we had a month to just hang out. So we like went back and worked on these old songs with a, you know, a different group of people being involved, and they just kind of became something different naturally. So, but absolutely the next one, I mean, I want to make like three more. That would be like the end goal, but that'll probably take 40 years or something like that. So we'll see what happens, you know.
Which grandma is it going to be?
The next one's going to be my grandma. So okay. Anne, probably. And then, yes, right. So Rose was first. And then, yeah, we'll do Anne. And then, I don't know. I guess we'll just have to, yeah, just work our way down the line, you know.
Yeah, there's a selection of grandmas.
Right, exactly, exactly. We can, yeah, so that's cool. We try to put, like, the songs that, like, we know, or, like, the last one, we knew that Grandma Rose liked certain old From Bottom songs, so we tried to, like, specifically choose from those songs to redo for her special.
Yeah. That's such an interesting concept, rewriting lyrics, because not many bands do that.
I know. You know, I just had that idea just now, so I think I'm pretty excited about that. And also because, like, you know, you listen to these old songs, like a song like Taking My Uzi to the Gym or something, there's a lot of angst in there. You know, there's a lot. I was working out a lot of young tension. I was in a certain place in my life, a certain experience, that I'm not in that place anymore. But so now I could work out the tension that I have now, you know, through these. So I'll sing like opera or something like that.
You worked in a grocery store, right?
Oh yeah. For a few years. I worked at a ShopRite.
Okay.
It was in Ramsey.
Okay.
It was great, you know, it was a job. You gotta work. So, but I will say, like, everybody that I worked with showed the band a lot of love. Because I would always ask, especially my manager. I had a manager at the time that was just like, oh yeah, you could take time off to go on tour or something, but he'd be like,
all right, yeah, that's what's up.
Exactly. Yeah. It was like, it was incredible. Like, it was awesome because I was working, so I had to do that to make money. But, you know, that's a hard thing to work and go to school and have an internship and do all this other stuff. So to have somebody like on your side like that, you know, I had to convince him, you know.
Playing the demo?
You know what it was? I think it was like he was like, you know, I want to hear a CD. He's like, I want to hear something. He's like, let me hear something. I was like, yeah, well, whatever, man. You know, he's like, come on, I know you're playing these shows. Let's hear some music. So, you know, it came. I was like, oh, I'm going to go on a little weekend tour. He's like, well, you can't have off. I was like, come on, man. He's like, you bring me a CD, I'll give you off for the weekend. I was like, all right. So I gave him a CD. And like, really, the next day, he just showed me so much love, you know, to the point where, like, we played his daughter's birthday party. Like, the From Bottoms played his daughter's birthday party. Because it was, like, that was the type of band we were, you know. And, like, he helped me out with giving us some time off. And he just, you know, even, like, I think probably, like, 6 months ago, I sent him a bunch of, like, From Bottoms shirts for all his kids and stuff, so. It's like little people like that.
Yeah, you know, what's his name?
His name is Rob. Yeah, Rob. He was the manager of, it doesn't matter. The manager at the ShopRite in Ramsey. He took care of us. And yeah, his whole family is, you know, became friends and very nice. And it's crazy to think.
He's another one of those people.
That's absolutely right. You know, that's absolutely right. It's just like, you know, people want to help and they want, you know, if you have an idea or you have an artistic vision or whatever it is, that they want to be involved. And that's something that I've learned. And it's really, really worked to our advantage, so much so that I would say that that's kind of like our identity at this point. It's just like the other people involved is what makes the Front Bottoms the Front Bottoms. It's cool.
We mentioned the sound guy, the first show,
right?
Mark Jaworski,
mm-hmm.
Supermarket. Is there anyone else we should shout out along the way?
Let's see. Yeah,
pivotal players.
There was Matt Ming, who me and Matt lived with shortly after I moved out of my parents' house. Me and Matt lived with this guy who had designed a T-shirt for us, the very first Front Bottoms T-shirt. It was a white shirt that said the Front Bottoms. And so he designed the T-shirt, and he was like, you know, I got this big house. I just got divorced from my wife. Like, if you guys want to live here, that's cool. So we went and lived there for like 6 months, you know. Another buddy, James, who we met at a show, I think, through his girlfriend. We ended up living with him for like a year and a half because he was good people and took care of us, let us jam in his basement. We made a couple music videos. The Flashlight music video was made in his garage. There's a lot of people that I went to college with that like were great. There was guy Brian. He took some press photos for us. So it was two guys who made the swimming pool video, Dan and Steve. They made actually a few videos for us, which is awesome. But let me think, who else? You know, our parents have been very supportive. There's people who have been in the band in the past. Matt's brother was in the band for a while. Then there was Drew. Then there was Kieran. You know, so it's a revolving sort of growing, living thing. So it's awesome to be a part of.
We're in the liner notes right now. We're deep in the thank yous.
Yes,
and everybody.
Right. Oh, God, who did I forget? There's a few people. Let me think. Let me think. Our buddy Dancing Tony. He was a friend we made in Jersey City. He was just a good guy, and we would always party with him, and we got a real kick out of him. He always took real good care of us. He ended up being in the Help music video from the last album. He's the guy. He's the star of that video. And he's, you know, there's just... He was our caterer for a real long time. Not officially, but he would always show up early with a bunch of food and get into the venue and, you know, have it all set up nice for us. And, you know, so it's just about, you know, keeping the good people around, really, and keeping the energy positive.
That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Yo, that's about everything I have at my end. Is there anything else you want to touch on, shout out with the album, anything?
Nah, not really. I mean, we got the new album, Going Gray, coming out Friday. Going to release another sweet music video on Friday for Peace
right.
Sign.
It's
the song
we heard
earlier. Trying to think. Yeah, no, you know, it's just going to hit the road after that. So we'll be going around the country and then going back to the UK and Europe and... February and just staying busy. So thanks for having us. I'm glad
totally
it
yeah
worked
thanks
out.
So much for coming by. This is fun.
Yes, absolutely. And I can't believe that Mark Jaworski connection. That's
yeah
blows
seriously
my mind.
We probably have a couple others. It's like
I would imagine so.
Yeah,
imagine
from
so.
What were some other venues? Did you ever go to like Bloomfield Avenue Cafe?
Yes.
Or Hamilton Street Cafe?
Yeah Bloomfield yeah in Montclair was that.
Yeah, Bloomfield Ave was in Montclair, and
okay.
Boundbrook was Hamilton Street.
Then there's the Meat Locker in Montclair.
Mm-hmm.
Mexicali Blues.
Okay.
I think they changed the name recently. I think that's in like Teaneck, actually.
Okay.
Kind of weird, but that was another one.
Like a little bigger, there was School of Rock.
Oh, yeah.
North.
Yeah, in Hackensack.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, School of Rock. We played there a bunch of times,
mm-hmm.
but that shut down, I think. Now.
Yeah, that was, I remember like 2007, 2008
okay.
going to stuff there.
Yes, right, exactly. They would do like those pop punk shows with like six vans on the
yeah.
On the bill, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, School of Rock, that's right. Yeah, so there are some spots around to play. We started doing like the Court Tavern, like things in New Brunswick, like by Rutgers,
mm-hmm.
and then we started to realize like, oh, we could play basements, you know, and people don't have to pay to get in. So then that became what we did, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, the New Brunswick lore.
Right, exactly. It was quite a lore.
And you got Starland coming up.
And we got Starland coming up. Yes, exactly. So that's awesome. Oh, another shout out, Joe. This guy, Joe Schott. That's not how you say his last name, I don't think, but that's how I say it. He messaged us on MySpace. Okay, so this must have been like 9 years ago. And was like, I go to school at Rutgers. I live in Jackson. Do you want to come play my dorm room? So we went and played his dorm room, literally to him and his roommate. So it was a little bit weird, but we were like, this is awesome. Somebody wants us to come and play their dorm room. He directed the music video for a song called, I think it ended up being Everyone But You, on the new album. Mm-hmm. So this is like 2 weeks ago. And we would go and play his house, his backyard. He had a pig, a pet pig that they'd have to put inside
because
it'd
so
be too
rad.
Loud. Yeah,
it was, did he put on like a little leash?
I don't remember a leash, but I remember being like, you have a pig back here? But like, that's another person, like, messaged us on Facebook 9 years ago, made a music video for us, now that we're signed to this major label, 2 weeks ago. So, and we've been in contact, you know, he's like a good person, he's great at making art, you know, and he did a lot of t-shirt designs for us. He was going to try to be our tour manager for a little while, but it just eventually didn't really work out. But, you know, that's another example of a good guy who's been with us for a long time. Another guy, Jordan from Philadelphia, who we met through like his girlfriend. He's been like a road dog for us. He was the couch man. He would come and sit on the couch, and we have a song called Wolfman that's named after him. So it's just like, it's all, you know, it's all connected. You get the inspiration from people around you. I've been saying this thing, you are who you hang out with.
Totally.
That's what I've realized as I've gotten older. That's what it comes down to. Like, you are who you hang out with. That's it. That's how it goes.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, baby.
Words of advice to leave on. You know?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, thanks so much. We didn't have any time for all the people who suck, but whatever.
Oh, that's a long list. So come on, take a dip, because my pool rips. It was a pool.
Yeah, that is it. That's the episode, my chat with Brian from Front Bottoms. Thank you so much for listening. However this is reaching your ears, this podcast, thank you. I appreciate it so much. And yeah, I'll be seeing Front Bottoms on tour coming up. They're touring through North America to close out the year, and I'm sure you'll be seeing plenty of them live in the months even after that with the new album out. If you're seeing Front Bottoms soon in New York or New Jersey, maybe I'll see you there. Anyways, to keep up with the show, keep up with what I'm into, follow me on Twitter, at cpainonaplane is the Twitter handle, or you can search for my name, CHRISPAYNE. I'm probably the first name that comes up there. So I'm always just riffing on what's going on with the show, dropping little hints, things I'm just writing for Billboard, things going on in my life. And aside from Twitter, you can subscribe to the show, get it automatically every week. Search for hashtag alternative facts, all one word, in iTunes or in the podcast app on your phone. Get it automatically every week on your phone without having to search for it. And if you're kind enough and you have feedback for us, things you want to say, star rating super helpful, and just write in some feedback. I read all of it. I look in after every episode to see what's up. Feedback about what you liked, what you didn't like, what you maybe want to hear more from, artists you'd like to see discussed or interviewed on the show. All that helps so much. And yeah, until next week, we'll be back next Thursday with a new episode. Until then, have a good one, guys. Peace out.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.